Let's look in Numbers 14, verse 11. And we know from Israel scriptures that God gave signs so that Israel would believe God. That was the purpose back in Exodus 4, when God was talking to Moses about how to round up the people and get them to believe that God was working in their behalf. He gave them the sign of, two signs. One slips my mind right now, the rod. Put the rod on the ground, and it turned into a serpent. And he says, grab it by the tail, pick it up, and it turned back into the rod. An obvious sign, it meant something. Those people needed a sign to believe. That's the way they're wired. God made them that way. Numbers 14:11, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? Signs in the Bible, true signs, are given by God to get Israel to believe. They either come from God or from believing Israel to get unbelieving Israel to believe. Or else they come from, later on, they came from the body of Christ that was in close proximity to the Jewish church or the church of God. And it was also from God through the body of Christ believers to unbelieving Israel to get them to believe. No matter what the source, that's what the purpose was, to get Israel to believe. In Isaiah 8, verses 13 to 18, that section there stretches out the description of Israel's fall and diminishing more than you see even in Isaiah 6, verses 9 through 12. 9 and 10 being the casting away verses, and then 11 and 12... What did I say? 9 and 10 being the castaway verses. And 11 and 12, the two verses that follow, shows exactly what happened throughout the centuries after that, pointing to the use of that by Paul as being the actual casting away and blinding of Israel. The verses from Isaiah 8, now we were talking about parallel verses a minute ago in Isaiah 8, 13 to 18, but the verses from verses 19 through 22 in Isaiah 8, they prophesy Israel's plight after God blinds them, casts them away, after the years of diminishing, described in Acts 8 through Acts 28, the diminishing, those true signs ceased when God blinded and cast away Israel. They ceased. There was no more Israel to show signs to get to believe. I mean, they were gone. They were no longer God's people. Now, I'm not saying they were permanently not God's people, but they were, God will bring them back. God will keep all his promises to them. But they ignored, blasphemed against the Holy Ghost, and God did what he said. So during the current period, they can still come to God, but they can't do so as a nation. The nation of Israel is still cast away. Individual Jews can come to God, but only as Paul did, as a sinner, instead of coming as one that keeps the Mosaic law, one that's chosen by God or whatever. Set apart as a holy nation. They're not a nation. They're an individual if they come to God today. Paul was the chief of sinners. And the word chief means head of the line. Not the biggest, not the worst. He was the first one out there, though. First one to come in that way, come into the body of Christ. Paul was the first one, first member of the body of Christ, coming as a bankrupt sinner with nothing to offer, deserving condemnation, but receiving God's saving grace. First one to come that way. I should say first one to come that way into the body of Christ. There was an incident that David came that way to God, but not as a program, not as something that anyone could follow. Paul mentions that incident too with David. I forget the exact wording, but something about how blessed it is for the person who has his sins forgiven or has his iniquities covered or something like that. You can look it up, or we can at some other point, but that's the gist of what it says. So it means that God brought Israel down to our level. Pardon me just a minute, please. God brought Israel down to our level. And for a Jew to come to God, he must deny any benefit of being born a Jew and come to God with no hope. No hope of salvation on his own or by being a Jew or his birth or his ancestry or heirship or anything, other than the grace that Christ offers by having died for our sins and risen again for our justification. He has to admit that he has sins that he needs to have forgiven, and that Christ, when Christ died for those sins, it applied to him and his sins are forgiven. Just like with us. After Israel's fall, Christ saved Saul of Tarsus by his new pattern of salvation that we're talking about here. That was never known before Paul was saved. Nobody knew about believing that Christ died for their sins to be saved. Peter, James, John, they never preached that. They preached the gospel of a kingdom coming from heaven. Repent about rejecting your Messiah and believe. Be baptized in as a, you know, that was one of the rites, the rituals, excuse me, initiation ritual for a priest in Israel. Had to be washed with water, and that was the baptism. He had to be anointed with oil, and that was the coming of the Holy Spirit upon them. So, anyone at that time or now coming to Christ would have to come like Saul of Tarsus did, by this new pattern for sinners by grace through faith without your works. Don't contaminate God's work with your work. Don't say, well, I don't believe he could save me without me being a good boy. You're cutting yourself off from the grace of God then. So the gospel of Christ, those believers back then that believed the gospel of Christ, they were given gifts like tongues, etc., wonders, you know, miracles, to provoke Israel to jealousy and so to emulate those who had believed the gospel of Christ for salvation, as it was preached by Paul. The Lord Jesus Christ had saved Paul and inspired him with revelations to preach and what to write. Christ sent body of Christ prophets in those early churches when the Word of God was still being written down, and he sent those body of Christ prophets, different from Israel's prophets, and he had gifted them to understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And that was for the purpose. Those body of Christ prophets were for the purpose to acknowledge that the things that Paul, he said, the things that I write, Paul, that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. The Lord commanded him to write these down. He wrote them down. You can read them in your book, in your Bible, between Romans and Philemon. And he preached them. He went around preaching what you have in your Bible in Romans through Philemon. And now you won't find it anywhere else because it was only revealed to Paul. And the rest of the Bible, most of the rest of the Bible is strictly to Israel. It's about Israel's history, about Israel's future, about Israel's access to God. But that doesn't involve you. You're not Israel. We're not Israel. God is going to bring Israel back and keep his promises to Israel. We don't get those promises. We don't get those covenants. We get the grace of God saving us into the body of Christ. We have a house eternal in the heavens. Israel was promised the land. That's on earth. They have a physical, they can touch their blessings. We can't. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, back then, at that time, Christ also sent body of Christ teachers. Besides the body of Christ prophets, he sent body of Christ teachers to instruct, to publish, to teach others also. You know, he said, you have 10,000 instructors, but there was only one of Paul that brought them to Christ, or taught them how to be saved, gave them the gospel. But that was one of the teachers' jobs, was to teach them, to instruct them what Paul had said, and to publish. The Lord gave the word, many were those that published it, and to teach others also. That's part of propagating the word of God through the centuries so that we get it today. Teaching others also involves the word of God, writing it down, preserving it under the direction of God. God's the one that promised to preserve his word without error in its pure state till today, till forever. And we have it today. If your book with the word Bible on it has a mistake in it, get one that doesn't. One that I know of that doesn't have errors in it is the King James Bible. Not the New King James, but the King James Version. that was first released in 1611. So, teach others also the inspired, acknowledged, and professed revelations from Christ that Christ gave to Paul to give to us. Some of those body of Christ teachers that Christ gave at that time were gifted to teach Paul's gospel to foreign-speaking, disbelieving Jews. Did you hear that? Those body of Christ teachers that the Lord gifted that early church before there was the Word of God, and I'm talking about in Paul's churches, the churches that Paul, that were the gatherings of believers in Paul's gospel. Not a gospel about a kingdom, but about trusting Christ to have died for your sins and risen for your justification. But some of those body of Christ teachers were gifted to teach Paul's gospel to foreign-speaking, disbelieving Jews. It's called tongues in the Bible. And those gifts for Israel, given to the body of Christ, they ceased when there was no more foreign-speaking, apostate Jews that had not heard the new gospel of Christ. You know, it was being circulated. At some point back then, soon, you know, even before Paul stopped writing epistles, some of those epistles were being circulated as the word of God, and you know they were gathered into a completed book. The Lord directed it the whole way. I mean, you can look back in Exodus; he has Moses writing them the things down in a book. You can look in various places in Jeremiah, chapter 30 tells the same thing. Add to this book. So we've got the book. It's a very precious book. Read it, study it, believe it. Don't question it. Believe it. Question yourself. Question your experiences, the things you've seen with your own eyes, but don't question the Bible. All right. Let me think. The heresies that'll be present during Israel's blindness, when God has declared them not my people, like right now, which happened, you know, back in. When they were individually as people, as they were cast away, that was in Acts 28, verses 25 through 29. during Israel's current Lo Am I period, when they're not God's people, and after true signs given to the body of Christ had ceased, lying signs would become abundant from the source of lies, being Satan and his minions. Look at Isaiah 8, verse 18. Isaiah 8, verse 18, and then we'll look at 19 in a minute. But behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel. So the Lord gave signs to give, you know, for Israel to get them to believe. In Israel, it says the signs are in Israel, not in the body of Christ. For a while, God gave some people in the body of Christ that were close to Jewish synagogues, gave them signs of tongues to be able to communicate the gospel of Christ to those disbelieving Jews in the synagogues. But they're not there anymore. The tongues have ceased. But these signs and wonders in Isaiah 8:18 are in Israel. They're by Israel's converted believers in Israel's gospel of the kingdom out of heaven, coming out of heaven to earth, being at hand. That it was at hand at that time. It was at hand in the Mark 16:20 signs. By the time you get to where the body of Christ has been given signs, it was no longer at hand. It was way out in the future, just like it is now. It's out in the future. But it was a kingdom that was promised to Israel, and for a while it was preached that way. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, when would they say this? Seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards. Now that's strictly an abomination to God. So that's not believing Israel. That's after Israel has been cast away. When they say that, when they say, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter. What's that sound like? Should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? So they should, you know, instead of seeking these lying signs, they should be seeking God. And God will cause them to seek him eventually. He will pour out on them between, pour out on them the spirit of grace and of supplication. So, Lil Ray of Sunshine, please keep your comments on the topic that we're presenting, please. No teaching of different doctrine from what the Bible says. If you have a verse that says that from the King James Bible, you can post it, but otherwise don't try to teach it in here. So now you have to know Israel's scriptures. And you have to know Israel's law. You have to have read back there in Leviticus and Deuteronomy that familiar spirits and wizards are an abomination unto God. And they're the furthest thing from what God's will is. He's not promoting that at all. They are the ones that are leading Israel astray into idolatry. Or they were while Israel existed. Into idolatry, leading them into other gods. Look at Leviticus 20, verse 6. Leviticus 26, verse 6. Let me just get a sip. Hold on. Verse 6. The soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them. You can tell he doesn't like them. I will even set my face against that soul and cut him off from among his people. Well, you know, that's not talking to the body of Christ. Leviticus was the law given to Israel, not to the body of Christ, not to Gentiles. But For us, we're not ever cut off. There's nothing in Christ's doctrine from heaven to Paul for us that says we'll ever be cut off. Only Israel has to endure to the end. Only Israel would be cut off. So look at 2 Kings 23, verse 24. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law, which were written in the book. In the book that Hilkiah, the priest, found in the house of the Lord. And that's an exciting story. But these wizards and familiar spirits, they're the furthest things from God. They are the ones that were leading Israel astray. Look at verse 19 again. And when they shall say unto you, now at this point Israel is talking about, Isaiah is talking about Israel being already cast away through the years without God. And he's saying, when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto them that, unto wizards that peep and that mutter. Well, you can see that going on all the time. You know, they call it tongues today. But there are no tongues given today by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. Those tongues were for Israel before they were cast away. They're written in the Bible, yeah, but you have to realize the sequence of events. That event of tongues has passed. Paul said to the Corinthians, I wish you all speak in tongues. But then he goes on to give limits and saying it's shutting down. Don't go beyond this. He doesn't say to stop tongues, but he says, let everything be done for edification. You know, he draws the comparison there between prophecy and tongues, professing God's word or speaking it in a foreign language to an unbelieving Jew. That time was finishing. Later on, he didn't have the gift of tongues or miracles at all. I mean, you know, Trophimus, he had to leave sick. He couldn't heal him. He didn't have those gifts anymore. That time had passed. Israel was no longer an entity, no longer God's earthly agency to bring people to God through Israel. God was bringing people to himself through the gospel that Paul preached, bringing them into the body of Christ. All right, let's continue reading in Isaiah 8 in that passage there, picking up at verse 20. And that's still after God had blinded and cast away, lo am I, Israel, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. And according to Isaiah 8:16, earlier in the passage, the law still applied to Christ's disciples. Bind up the law. To the testimony. Where was that? That was in verse 16, back earlier. But here in Isaiah 8, verse 20, we see that apostates will disregard the law and the testimony, which were given to be a witness against apostate Israel. Look at Deuteronomy 31:26. Take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee, against Israel. Israel was given the law to show them, you know, that they can't keep the law, that they can't be like God. They're not good enough for God. They need a Savior. They need the grace of God. But they didn't catch on. Their pride kept pushing them to say, I can do it. I can keep the law. Why is it that they speak not according to this law and the testimony? It says because there is no light in them. Let's look in John chapter 11, verse 10. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Now let's go back to John 3, verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God, or made in God, finished in God. I forget the exact definition. Presented, you know, it's the, at the presentation stage. It's not in the manufacturing stage. So, apostate Israel had been blinded, and they had been cast away. And then you read Isaiah 8:20. We'll go through verse 22 now. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them, and they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves, and curse their king and their God, and look upward, and they shall look unto the earth, and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. That's Israel after they had long deserved to be cut off from God, finally being cut off, broken off, snared, the many words used for it, blinded and cast away in the Bible, Bible words. These verses prophesy of the long darkness that we're witnessing today, that Israel has gone through since their blinding and casting away at the end of Acts. God has cut them off. God has cast them away. And they are not now God's people. God said, I will not be their God. And I don't want to leave this in a bleak state here. Let's read that same, the prophecy of the same event, which is in Hosea. And in Hosea 1:9, and we'll go on to Hosea 1:10, and you can see that between Hosea 1:9 and Hosea 1:10, there's a gap that we're in right now. I mean, we're not in it. Israel is in it. That's an Israel event. We're the body of Christ. But this at this time period, in 2000, whatever, Israel is in that gap. Look at it. Hosea 1:9, then said God, call his name, Lo am I, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Hosea 1:10 is after that happened. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be, that's future tense, shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. So that's yet to come. That's what I'm saying. That gap is at this current time, even though we're not a part of it, because we're in the body of Christ, not in prophecy. We're not prophesied. There's nothing in the Old Testament about us. There's nothing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or Acts 1 through 8 about us, about the body of Christ, or believers in Paul's gospel, or the mystery that Paul revealed. Hosea 1:10 prophesies that there is a regathering coming. And the Bible doesn't use that word, though. The Bible uses the word gathering. God himself is going to make all this happen. He'll make Israel turn their hearts to the Lord. Israelites today generally have hearts full of pride, you know. Their attitude is that we are Jews. We don't need a Savior. We've got our God. Israel is ignoring facts. Facts of specifically Matthew 12, verses 31 and 32 that they just defied. I mean, they in Acts 7, they totally blasphemed the Holy Ghost, and the Lord had told them that's unforgivable. That's, you know, you can't be forgiven for that. And Paul was standing there doing it. Saul of Tarsus was, I should say. But Acts 7 and Acts 28, they ignore those facts. When Israel fell from blaspheming the Holy Ghost, when they, after having diminished through Acts, when they were cast away in that Isaiah statement quoted by Paul in Acts 28, verses 25 to 29. So, today, Israel is in between Hosea 1, 9, and Hosea 1, 10. They are Lo Ammi at the present time. You are not God's people. And they are not yet, again, the sons of the living God. We, the body of Christ, are in, well, we're in the grace of God. We're not in those prophecies. We're not in the promises made to Israel. We're not in Hosea 1, 9 or Hosea 1, 10. But if the body of Christ were in Israel's prophecies, that's where they would be. You know, Israel's prophecy ended, the fulfillment of their prophecies ended when they were cut off. And they'll start again when God chooses to remove the body of Christ that he's working with now, remove us from the earth. And at that point, Israel's prophecy fulfillment will start again. The absence of any reference to the body of Christ between Hosea 1:9 and Hosea 1:10 proves that Israel and the body of Christ are different entities. They're not the same. With Israel being in prophecy, being told about in the Old Testament, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the body of Christ not being in prophecy, but only being in the mystery that Christ revealed to Paul, starting in Acts 9. Okay, I'm done with this lesson.